air with Biz Culture Matters. We are here again at drive time, our new time, 3 o'clock. On your way home, if you're leaving the office early. How you doing, Steve?
Everybody should leave the office early every day.
Everybody should leave. I don't know if everybody's
boss is going
to be happy.
If they had a great culture, they could leave the office early every day and get more done in less time with more fun and make more profit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, I think I got a new blog coming out on the website here soon, how to save 8 hours in your day.
Do you know that Abraham Lincoln, my favorite Abraham Lincoln quote, and most people have never heard this because I've shared it with business leaders for years, and they scratch their head and say, did Abraham Lincoln say that? What Abe says is that if you gave me 8 hours to chop a pile of wood, I'd spend 6 hours sharpening the axe.
Yeah.
And most businesses today, people are spending 10 to 14 hours, sometimes 16 hours a day chopping wood. They never sharpen the axe, and they wonder why it is. They're so stressed out. Their families are falling apart. Their profits are down. Stress levels are high. Turnover is through the roof.
Yep.
And life is not fun.
Life is not. I thought Stephen Covey said that.
No, that was Abraham.
Covey stole it from
he
Abraham
quoted
Lincoln.
Stephen stole it from Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, man, that's crazy. Well, it's a good thought, and it is true. So get your axe sharpeners out. This show is one of the ways you can sharpen your axe. And Steve, we have a small guest in the studio today. Chris, you want to say hi?
Hey, what up?
That's our 14-year-old entrepreneur studying radio so that he can go back to school and dwarf us all by his brilliance.
That's right. Chris is in the studio, 14-year-old entrepreneur, soon to be, I don't know. He kind of looks like Justin Bieber, everybody, so he might be able to pass.
He looks like Justin with his headset on in the radio studio.
He does. That's what I'm saying. His flat bill hat. Chris, are you going to be a young entrepreneur? Do you look like Justin Bieber?
I don't know.
All right. Well, either way, we're glad you're here. He's going to hang out, everybody, while we're chatting away on Culture Matter stuff. And if he chimes in and wants to add a little what's up to the ladies or something, he'll probably do that. But either way, we're here. And we're going to do a different show today. We've had every one of our shows so far has featured a CEO or CFO or COO, some kind of a C-suite leader in business that we've been able to interview and hear some great wisdom. By the way, you can catch those on our podcast at excellentcultures.com. Just click the news radio button right there on the homepage and you can get it, or you can search for it on iTunes. Just look for Excellent Cultures. But all those past shows really added up to, Steve, we never had a dedicated show just to talk about culture, period.
So that's what we're going to talk about today?
So that's what we're doing today.
I'm glad you finally told me.
I know. It's crazy. It's amazing that we're finally doing this. I think we talk about business culture. We're talking to different CEOs about business culture all the time, and then plus all the other wonderful things that come up. But we've never had a show just dedicated to it because people are asking. People want to know. Culture can be a buzzword. It can be one of those things that gets mucky. And there's a lot of talk out there about it. It gets squishy. It gets soft. We want to get down to the nitty-gritty today. So we're going to be talking to Steve himself, Steve Gandra. 35 years in the business, Steve. Is that how long it's been?
35 plus.
So we got a few questions that we're going to get started with. Are you ready?
We're ready.
You're the only one answering the questions. But
well, that's okay. That's okay. We're
that's
ready.
Right. Well, perfect.
We're ready. Chris and I are ready to go here.
Okay, so we are entitling this show, Is Your Culture Affecting the Success of Your Business? And Steve, would you say that culture is something that just affects business, or is it business, government, family, life, the whole deal, the whole game?
All of the above. All of the above.
And what explain to us, we talk in specifically business culture from time to time. But just give us your definition of business culture or culture as a whole. Why is it so important?
Well, first of all, the culture is effectively the mindsets inside of human beings, the habits, the beliefs, the attitudes, the communication styles. And when I talk about communication styles, if you've studied or done any research on communication, you would know that verbal communication is only about 10% effective. Nonverbal communication, tone of voice, body language is what communicates, you know, the message. I was talking to an executive back east today, one of the executives that we're coaching, and this guy is just a brilliant, dynamic guy. He, you know, he looks like Mr. America. He works out every day. He's tall. He's good looking. He's huge. you know, he wears beautiful suits to work every day. And
can we call them handsome?
Yeah, really a good looking, handsome, dynamic, intelligent, superstar leader. And I mean, I say that from expertise because I've seen the data on his biz culture MRI leadership scores. This guy, you know, is a rock star leader. But in the course of our conversation, what came out in what's taking place in his leadership coaching piece, this guy is so good, so intelligent, so dynamic, so cool that he actually intimidates the daylights out of people who don't know him.
Yeah.
Now, his people who he work with every day who know him so well say, would tell you that, you know, the guy's great. He's a wonderful leader. He's humble. He's caring. He's effective. He's proficient. But people who don't know him, you know, take a look at him and say, whoa, this guy looks like a movie star. I think he's arrogant or condescending, and which is as far from the truth as you could imagine. So when you look at culture, I mean, it's all those, you know, those beliefs. I mean, working with this guy on helping him change the way that he presents himself. If you could imagine, you could ever talk to an executive and say, you need to dress a little more sloppy or sloppier. You
right.
need to dress sloppier because then people wouldn't get scared of you because you're so precise and so cool and right. so professional and so effective. Usually it's just the opposite. So, right. you know, culture is the belief systems of people that govern how they act, how they behave, how they communicate, how they lead, if they're leaders. It's everything. You know, it is everything. You know, in effect, if you could look at any business problem or is any business solution, you're going to find that 99.9% of them, if not all of them, are all grounded someplace in culture. In fact, most of our clients come to us with problems other than culture related, you know, with high turnover, or they want to increase the effectiveness of their employee retention, or they have merger and acquisition connection challenges, or they want to increase their sales, or they want to increase their bottom line, or they want to, most of them come to us, quite frankly, because they feel that they have great cultures already,
right.
and they want to sharpen them and take it to the next level. And yet, we always end up, when we trace the roots of whatever the business challenge is, coming back to culture. It's about the belief systems that drive the behaviors of people in organizations, teams, any group of people, including a family.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's one of the wonderful things that we see with our clients for years is that once they engage the process on the business side, many of them, when they apply it to their personal lives and families, it changes that as well.
Oh, absolutely. Well, my wife, your mom, was just poking me in the ribs the other day with one of her sharper pointed fingernails because she heard me spend an hour and a half on the phone with the client coaching this executive on how to effectively communicate with and relate to his teenage daughter. And then just following the call, you know, I was communicating with our 14-year-old Chris, just the opposite of what I was coaching this guy to do on the phone. Chris is sitting here in the studio with us today, smiling at his old dad.
How'd that go for you, Chris? What, do you know what he's talking about?
No.
Man, am I glad he doesn't know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm talking to this executive who's got a teenage daughter who, you know, is a brilliant 4.0 student. And, you know, she has an elective language and she wants to take French. And her dad, obviously, is a marketplace guy. He's out in the world and could tell you all the reasons why Spanish is going to be a more productive learning experience than French. And, you know, he's having this big debate with his daughter about, you know, French or Spanish. And, you know, guess what? He lost the debate. And she would have taken Spanish, but she would have probably flunked it on purpose just
yeah.
because it was dad's idea instead of hers.
Sure.
So I'm much better at coaching than I am practicing what I preach, but thanks to my wife of 40 plus years, I'm getting better.
No, I think that's good for the listeners to hear that we're not perfect, right? And none of us are. In fact, you said something there in your definition of culture, habits, attitudes, beliefs, all that stuff, but then even how we communicate, the nonverbals, and I gave my wife some nonverbals the other day that did not communicate what I meant to communicate.
So you were making vulgar signs
at
your wife?
No, I was simply asking for how much the groceries cost because I've been a budgeting Nazi lately, and how I worded it made her feel very attacked and belittled, and I thought I was just asking for a receipt.
Well,
you know.
Yeah. Well, you thought, but
yep.
You know what she heard was not the same thing
right.
as what you thought you were sending, which is the core of culture and leadership yeah. and performance in any team, any organization, any business, anywhere on the planet.
And that's the issue too. Is like we have this as we're going to a break. We're going to go into a break, but we're going to come back and actually keep talking about this business culture and how it affects every avenue. In every part of our lives. We'll be right back.
Remember Ross Perot, the Texas millionaire who ran for president in the early 90s? Did you realize that he's built multiple companies that sold for billions? Each of his companies held a strong values-based culture. We interviewed his CFO and COO. His insightful comments on the role of culture in business are posted on the Culture News blog at excellentcultures.com. Take a look. You'll gain wonderful insights to building your own excellent cultures on excellentcultures.com. You can also follow us at XLNT Cultures or Facebook/Excellent Cultures.
Off-the-cuff management is old school at the very least. With culture at the root of every business problem or success, data-driven strategic leadership is where today's best businesses are focused. No one knows that better than Excellent Cultures. After 35 years, they are the Northwest's premier strategic leadership firm. Excellent Cultures has the expertise to read the soul of your business and generate abundance. Take the free Biz Culture MRI or ask the experts at excellentcultures.com.
As an executive, CEO, or business owner, do you find yourself struggling with work-life balance and achieving your goals at work and home? Are you overwhelmed in your workload and feel important things aren't getting done? Our coaches specialize in helping leaders like you overcome challenges and build a plan to recenter their life, to achieve the balance and success you've always hoped for in your business and your personal life. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures about the right plan for you.
And we're back from the break. We are having a Business Cultures, Biz Culture Matters special event today and focusing on what is business culture, talking about what it is, answering questions, talking to Steve, 35 years in the business. Chris is in the studio as well. And Steve, right where we left off right before the break, I was really thinking we were starting to talk about nonverbals and how we communicate through those nonverbals. But it's hard. Sometimes as leaders, I know I felt like this in running my own nonprofit organization as well as working in different companies and doing different things, that there's a bit of this weight to have to be on all the time, right? Like I have to communicate. I have to watch how I'm communicating. I have to like be careful of what my nonverbals are. And eventually that gets exhausting. What's your advice to guys and leaders that you're dealing with on a regular basis that how do they become this culture leader and not have to feel like they're carrying this weight of just trying to do it right all the time?
Yeah, great question. 3 points. Number one, relax and be yourself, because if you're trying to be something than who you are, your people will know, and you'll get less results by them knowing that you're faking it than if you just, you know, relax and be the dictator that you might have always been or the softie that you might have always been or anything in between. Point number two is go online as soon as you finish listening to the show at excellentcultures.com/bizculturemri and take the free 7-minute version of the Business Culture MRI. Quick questions. You can get real-time results. No salesperson is going to call you unless you ask them to. But, you know, answer the questions honestly about yourself and your own culture because it's kind of like going on a diet. You know, it's real easy to gain 20 pounds and not even realize it until, you know, your skirt or your pants start getting tight. And then you go and get on the scale and say, my goodness, I've gained 20 pounds and I did not even realize it. But if you'd have been getting on the scale every day or at least once a week, you would have known it by the science of the scale.
Right.
So we use science and scientific instruments to measure cultures, not attitude surveys, not employee satisfaction surveys, not employee engagement surveys, not leadership 360 reviews, but proven scientifically sound assessments. We call the collection of them the Business Culture MRI series. Right. And like I said, you can go online immediately, take the free version of it, get a feel for it, know how your culture stands up against the best in the world. And if it makes sense, you know, even get free advice from one of our culture experts on what's going on based upon what you see when you gather the data. So point number three is, you know, once you get the data, get help. You know, it's just like any other behavioral situation, you know, in human nature. If someone's got an alcohol problem, the first thing they have to do is realize they have a problem and admit it. Then they need to get help. Then they need to follow the advice of the professional that knows what they're doing that can help them. You know, and it doesn't make any difference whether it's just that or, you know, a serious problem like a drug or alcohol problem or a more subtle passive problem like you think you're a great leader and you have an empowered culture, but then we go do confidential anonymous interviews with your direct report team like we do with so many executives, and they say, well, what Joe calls robust dialogue is really robust monologue. Yeah. And he starts talking and preaching about robust dialogue, and we know it's our cue to shut up, nod our heads and smile, act like we're paying attention, but subconsciously forget everything he says because it's not our idea, it's his.
Yep. So those three, really quickly, were what? Number one?
Measure it. You know, get some science behind it.
Number two,
once you recognize what's going on, you know, get some help. You know, get coaching. Get somebody to support and help and assist you that knows what they're doing. Then number three, you know, is basically follow the advice that you get from the professional and get it implemented.
Walk it out. I think one of the things we hear, too, from a lot of the leaders that we work with, and maybe we can add number four, is one of the – it sounds ridiculous, but the reality is human nature, we all grow selfish most of the time.
How about all the time?
All the time.
I mean,
and so when we hear from leaders, it's like...
Is normal for
exactly,
human beings.
Exactly. And something about caring for others more than yourself creates this subconscious thought within you to be cognizant of how you're communicating to others and to be aware of how you're communicating. And that's the hard thing for our families, right? Because we get in the business world and we're on all the time, constantly thinking of others, and we get home and we get tired and we get selfish and we just want to chill out.
All we think about is how we can make ourselves feel more comfortable, and we forget everything that we tried hard to do.
Which is put me on the couch, don't talk to me.
And hand me the remote control.
Hand me the remote. And
Chris,
let me unbutton the top of my pants.
Bring me that soft, comfy pillow so I can chill. he says, and a blanket.
He says, give me a blanket. That's awesome. Okay, so Steve, why is business culture so misunderstood most businesses?
Well, the main reason it's misunderstood by not just business leaders, but everybody. Let me give you an example. Culture is what happens when nobody's paying attention. It's what people do when nobody's holding a gun to their head, or what we all do when we're not at work and we're tired and we're exhausted and we crash on the couch. It's how we act when we're our real selves and are not trying to manage something mechanically. So the best example I can think of is, you know, we've all been on the airlines with a flight when the flight attendant comes on the speaker and says, gosh, the flight's going to be a little late. We're going to ask anyone who does not have an immediate connection to rush to please stay in their seats and allow those who have a short connection the opportunity to get up and get off the airplane first. And everybody says, okay, that's the courteous, nice thing to do, agrees to it. But then what happens as soon as the bell rings and everybody knows that the plane is at the gate, everybody gets up and rushes to the door, and nobody sits and waits. Now, that's not because people made a conscious decision to be discourteous, to purposely try to sabotage those who have a short connection. It's just because we're in the habit of getting up and going to the door and getting our overhead, you know, baggage out of the overhead and going to the door whenever it rings. So what happens is, you know, if you're human, then you're a human business leader, you talk about culture, but you don't really know what it means.
Yeah.
And everybody has a different definition of it and a different perspective. That's why we like to go with the dictionary definition. I mean, straight up dictionary definition, it's the shared beliefs, values, habits, attitudes, expectations, communication styles that people hold that control how they behave at work.
Right.
Real simple.
Yeah.
And the only way, and nobody knows what's going on because we can't see the trees in our own forest, and we can usually see the trees in our boss's forest or someone else's around us forest. Right. But if we've been in the culture a long time, we don't even see those.
Exactly.
And we don't know what we're doing to sabotage ourselves. We don't know what we're doing to sabotage others. We can find out, but typically when we find out, we take a non-scientific approach, have a lot of psychobabble, verbal jargon dialogue that doesn't result in, you know, in going any place that's sustainable or permanent. If it's not measured, if it won't be sustained.
Yeah. And that's the challenge, right? It's culture is what happens when nobody's looking.
Exactly.
Right? So...
And that includes for individuals as well as collective groups.
No, exactly. So what's the root of it? Like, is it just people in groups, or are leaders the root of it? Well, is the mission statement the root of it?
Well,
the
root of it is human nature.
Yeah.
You know, it's our imperfection.
Mission statements don't control it.
Well, you know, speaking of mission statements, in 35 years, you know, I've never spoken to a CEO who could recite the mission statement. Never.
Right.
Never. I mean, they have to go to the website.
That was written 20 years ago when the company first started, and they haven't.
Well, they can't recite it if it was written yesterday.
Right.
Wow. Because it's about warm and fuzzy words that are posted on a website, very well-meaning warm and fuzzy words, or that are created up on a mountaintop with a consultant that gets paid a lot to do flip chart exercises.
Right.
And everybody comes back excited and giving each other a high five with this new mission statement, and it gets put in gold frames and on memos and on the website, but there's no process in place to live it, as opposed to in I mean, I've been with companies years ago where a large Fortune 100 company had just done an exercise and had every single employee carry a plasticized card, 3x5 card pocket on their in their possession. You know, wow. Gentlemen in vest pockets or in suit coat pockets when suit coats were popular, ladies in handbags, and it was required, mission, values, guiding principles, the whole deal.
Right.
But I mean, it was a plasticized card. It wasn't what was in people's heart, and very few people could understand it, let alone recite it, and absolutely never live it, because there was no process in place to help people live it.
So the culture is going to just develop over time through the people.
Absolutely.
And if it's not evaluated, like you said, if it's not checked up on, because we're humans, it starts to veer off course.
Yeah, and it's not even just checking up on it. I mean, there's tons of research that's been done on organizations that do culture surveys and culture studies, and some of them are good. Most of them are surface level and don't really get to the root cause. But the data shows that once you gather all this information from these surveys, and good golly, today employees have survey fatigue. They've had so many surveys. But if you don't do anything, if you don't take action, if you don't put new processes and systems in place that people sign up to be accountable for, then what actually happens is the culture gets worse because people are frustrated that they took their time and energy to give you all this feedback, but nobody did anything about
it. How often should that be checked up?
At least once a year.
Is that any size organization?
Yeah, any size organization. I mean, at least once a year. I mean, it's just like, you know, if you want to stay healthy, how often should you go to the doctor? How often should you get on the scale?
Yeah.
You know, if you're serious about improving your body, you know, how often do, you know, bodybuilders use the instruments to check their percent of body fat versus muscle?
Right.
You know, you got to go to the science.
Yeah. And you got to look in the mirror. You know, in which for us is the scientific tools that we use, which is quite amazing. All right, we're heading to another break, everybody. You're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM. Take the time right now to jump on the website, excellentcultures.com/bizculturemri, and get a quick checkup on your culture. Totally anonymous. We'll send you the results in a day, maybe less.
How about real time?
Real time. It'll happen immediately. There you go. Do it. We'll be right back.
ExcellentCultures.com is always interviewing leaders committed to cultural leadership, excellence, and change. These leaders, like Russell Freeman, Ross Perot's COO, and Bob Hinton, CPA and Moss Adams Managing Partner, have world-class ideas. As advocates for creating a strong corporate culture that builds people and serves customers with excellence, They share breakthrough business ideas. Gain insights from Russell, Bob, and others on the Culture News blog at excellentcultures.com.
Off-the-cuff management is old school at the very least. With culture at the root of every business problem or success, data-driven strategic leadership is where today's best businesses are focused. No one knows that better than Excellent Cultures. After 35 years, they are the Northwest's premier strategic leadership firm. Excellent Cultures has the expertise to read the soul of your business and generate abundance. Take the free Biz Culture MRI or ask the experts at excellentcultures.com.
Has business taken over your life? Are you living to work or working to live? Stress, broken marriages, neglected relationships, and poor health are symptoms of a life out of balance. The right coaching plan can have transformational impact on the quality of your performance at work, depth of relationships at home, and personal sense of well-being. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures how coaching can help you maximize your life and optimize your work. Stop struggling to survive. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures how coaching can help you maximize your life and optimize your work.
All right, we're back. Hopefully you're not waiting through traffic, or actually, hopefully you are, because then you're forced to listen to us. But we're glad you're listening. Biz Culture
We don't
matters.
Want anybody to be forced to listen
to
it.
If
we're that bad that you have to be, it's kind of like, you know, your boss requires you to go to a training program. Those are the ones you really learn a lot from, aren't
funny.
They?
It's amazing, though, what we end up listening to in the radio while we're in traffic.
Yeah.
I've been blessed with satellite radio the last 3 weeks in a rental car, and that's been really nice. No commercials.
Well, that's why we like to put these shows, especially the ones that have our most knowledgeable leaders and executives on podcasts, so
right.
People can, you know, download them and listen, you know, on their phone and listen to them whenever they're driving and they're bored, and you know they want something that's fun and exciting, but also educational that they can take back to their businesses, implement, and get fast results.
Absolutely. Not to mention, I don't like TV commercials, but on the radio, I actually like them. I don't know why. I'll listen to commercials on the radio. I never want to fast forward, even if I could.
Well, it's because you can't fast forward, you know, on the radio yet. You know, yet.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. It's got to be paid for somehow, right?
It's rooted in culture.
There
I
you
promise,
go. You it know. Really, really is. All right. So moving on, we're having a special today, and we're just talking about business culture. We're not having any other guests on the show. We never had a show yet that was just dedicated to business culture, explaining, defining, talking about, and using real, honest, truthful communication back and forth. Steve, the reality, and we already have gotten there, but culture, it can be a problem. It's not always, not every culture is good. In fact, most cultures begin to deteriorate, and feel free to jump in and disagree, but as they grow, you need to start checking up on them more often. A larger culture would probably need to be checked up on more, or I'm sorry, a larger organization would probably need to be checked up on more
Absolutely.
Than a smaller one, right?
Yeah, the more imperfect human beings we have involved in our team or our culture, the faster things start to deteriorate if we're not paying attention. You've heard me use this analogy before. I mean, the culture in an organization or a business is a lot like acne. You know, when we go through adolescence, you know, most of us have a challenge with the combination of multiple factors that are all going on below the surface, you know, oily skin, you know, new hormones, chemical changes in the body, you know, dirt, grime, you know, you name it, you know, bacteria, all these things that dermatologists will tell you,
right,
you know, are at the root of acne. Now, what needs to happen with businesses is typically what doesn't happen is it's like acne. You don't realize it's a problem until, you know, you get a big old boil and you think if you, you know, not to sound too gross, but if you pop the boil and you clean it up and heal it, everything's going to be fine. But no, it's not going to be fine. If
Right.
you don't go to the root causes of what's going on and deal with those root causes, it's going to get worse and it's Yeah. going to grow and it's going to multiply. And the more of the greasy foods that you eat and the more of a toxic environment that you're involved, you know, that you work in with a lot of dirt and grime and the last times you wash your
Sure.
face, all these things contribute. So a culture is the same way. You know, only the root causes of culture are rooted in people's beliefs and their attitudes, how they think, how they communicate. You know, and for a good example, just talking about leaders for a second, the research shows that 70% of all leaders who lead people lead in a manner that produces defensive behavior. So if we had a room full of 100 leaders and asked the question, how many of you are leading your people in a manner that produces just the opposite of what you want in terms of real performance or real behavior? No one would raise their hand. But the truth is, 7 out of 10 are. Nobody knows that they're doing it. It's a hidden problem. And not only do they not know what they're doing, they don't need, or they don't know what to do to change it or what the root cause of it is.
Right.
And typically it can be as subtle as the boss says, okay, this is January, we're going to set goals for the new year. But based upon previous experience or a previous boss, or maybe this boss in a former season, what people hear is, oh, sounds like he's trying to set us up to change our comp plans, so we're all going to get paid less. That's not what he said, but if that's what people hear, then they go talk about it around coffee or a beer, and then all of a sudden acne starts to erupt, and it has nothing to do with what the leader really said, what the leader really intended. It's just people's perceptions based upon, you know, mistrust and junk and previous painful experiences and misunderstanding and all these crazy things that human beings get involved in that have nothing to do with what's really going on or the truth. And then sometimes you have real situations that are truthful. I was coaching another executive just today, CEO of a billion-dollar company, about a certain specific situation that the data showed in his leadership profile, where he had this tendency, and he didn't know what it was. And rarely we don't, because it's subconscious. I'm getting feedback from his executives that, you know, the boss, you know, they're too micromanaging. He pays, wants to take control of everything, wants to tell us what to do and how to do it, and we know how to do it better, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I talked to the boss about it once we looked at the data. He says, I know, I hear that feedback all the time. I don't know why I do it. I don't know what causes me to do it. It just seems to be the default drive. I'd like to stop, but I don't know what to do to stop. So welcome to leadership and culture in an organization or a team.
And, I mean, in reference just to the popping thing again, not to be gross, but my wife works with a lot of skin, and she gets really upset when I pop pimples.
Well, she's a makeup professional.
Yeah, she's a makeup
professional. At Sephora, who, by the way, has a great culture.
Yeah, they have amazing culture. Somehow we're going to have to get the CEO of Sephora on the show because they really...
They're doing
and he
great
used
things.
To be the CEO of Home Depot.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Big change
which
from
is funny.
A guy deal to a gal deal.
Yeah, but she... I mean, one of the things she said is she goes, popping the pimples is worse for the skin. You have to get to the cleanse.
Yep,
which
absolutely.
Is the products they sell.
Same thing with culture.
There you go.
Exactly the same.
Okay, so... You've already given us a few examples where assessing and addressing the culture of business, but give us some specific examples where assessing and addressing the culture of a business has resulted in significant financial gains for the firms that you've worked with.
Okay, so I'll just think of a few. Global firm, 20,000 employees, lots going on, been in business for years. Top performing in their industry, you know, engaged us to help them basically take their top performance and move it to a higher level. It's always the good guys who want to get better. Usually the guys who are doing terrible are so busy surviving that they don't have time to pay attention to how to improve or how to get better. So in the process, we gather data, do a series of assessments. In the first 6 months of a pilot project on a $500,000 project, they save $3 million in insurance premium reductions because their safety improved so much. And, the project was not even about improving safety. It was about improving employee retention. But in the process, you know, the people and leaders who got involved realized that they were self-sabotaging their own safety by the way they were delivering training. You know, from there, the CEO got wind of it, went to the executive suite and the C-suite. We've got conversations going on with, you know, where the boss has an agenda. And when the data says, well, no, that's not at all what it looks like, the CEO says, well, this can't be our data. But then we do confidential interviews with the executive team, and they tell us just the opposite.
Right.
And it boiled down to misperception, you know, boss's previous experience, you know, a college athlete, and folks were hearing what they thought he was saying, not in a way that he was saying it. Got to the bottom of it, put processes in place, $24 million in cost savings per year, you know, in this 20,000-person company.
Okay, this is a fastball question. It's not planned. In 35 years, have you ever had a client end up losing ROI? Not having a return on investment?
Yeah, only when you have a leader who doesn't want to change.
Right.
And typically, we're able to, with the assessments on the front end before we engage with a client, kind of sort those out. I mean, my favorite shrink joke is, how many shrinks does it take to change a light bulb? And no offense, we have some, you know, psychologists on our team who are, you know, brilliant leaders and brilliant at their field. But the answer to that is only one.
Right.
But the light bulb's really got to want to change.
Got it. And how we do it and have been doing it for years is a four simple, straightforward steps to changing the culture. First is measure and benchmark,
yep,
which we go in and do immediately because you got to go to the doctor. You got to get on the scale. Second is change how leaders lead. And there's some that don't want to go past that.
Yeah, exactly. Step. I mean, and I've gotten feedback and data on leaders that occasionally you have a leader that just likes the way that things are and they don't want to change. And that's okay. But rarely. I mean, most, I would say 95% or more of the leaders, even leaders that, you know, are get data that is just the opposite of what they want and just the opposite of what they thought. The vast majority of leaders really want to do better. The people don't wake up in the morning and say, I want to go to work and demotivate my people. I want to go to work and depress my people.
Right.
You know, I want to go to work and frustrate and make my people angry. I mean, that's not what a leader does.
Right.
So rarely do we have that kind of an experience. And I think it's part of it is because we just do a lot of due diligence on the front end and make sure that the leaders have the opportunity to experience the process, make it work for themselves. And when they make it work for themselves, it's easy to make it work with the people that follow them.
Right. And that's where it leads us to our third step, which is employee engagement. And then our fourth step, that I think one of the couple things that sets us apart from a lot of the other people out there, is our business process sustainment. We don't just do events. We do lifetime sustainment of the culture change in the companies, because we train their people to continue the movement, to continue the growth, to continue the change. And that doesn't happen in a lot of places.
Well, exactly. It doesn't happen because if you look at the research data, the greatest fear of humankind is speaking in front of a group of people. That is fear number one. Fear number two is death. Fear number three is change. So if you have normal, effective, red-blooded, you know, productive people, they would rather die than change. And they've got six or seven things that are more important to them in their life that they tell the confidential poll,
right,
that they won't tell their boss, that are actually more important to them in their life,
right,
than their job. I think job finished sixth on the confidential poll of priorities. And Gallup tells us that 71% of our employees in the United States today are effectively disengaged with their jobs.
Right.
And we wonder why. It's all about culture.
Exactly. All right. We're heading into our third and final break and then our last segment of the show. You're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM. Remember, check out right now, excellentcultures.com/BizCultureMRI, B-I-Z. We'll be right back.
Remember Ross Perot, the Texas millionaire who ran for president in the early 90s? Did you realize that he's built multiple companies that sold for billions? Each of his companies held a strong values-based culture. We interviewed his CFO and COO. His insightful comments on the role of culture in business are posted on the Culture News blog at excellentcultures.com. Take a look. You'll gain wonderful insights to building your own excellent cultures on excellentcultures.com. You can also follow us at XLNTCultures or Facebook/Excellent Cultures.
Off-the-cuff management is old school at the very least. With culture at the root of every business problem or success, data-driven strategic leadership is where today's best businesses are focused. No one knows that better than Excellent Cultures. After 35 years, they are the Northwest's premier strategic leadership firm. Excellent Cultures has the expertise to read the soul of your business and generate abundance. Take the free Biz Culture MRI or ask the experts at excellentcultures.com.
As an executive, CEO, or business owner, do you find yourself struggling with work-life balance and achieving your goals at work and home? Are you overwhelmed in your workload and feel important things aren't getting done? Our coaches specialize in helping leaders like you overcome challenges and build a plan to recenter their life, to achieve the balance and success you've always hoped for in your business and your personal life. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures about the right plan for you.
Hope you enjoyed your break. We are back for our last segment of Biz Culture Matters today on Clay 1180 AM. We are wrapping up. Man, this hour's gone by quick, Steve. Maybe we should do this again sometime.
Well, it's lots of fun because the more that we can help leaders make change that's effective, sustainable, fast, and produces huge returns on investment, the more fun it is.
And but everybody, we've got 14-year-old Chris still in the studio, and he's not sleeping. How's it going, Chris?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. He's not asleep. So,
and he doesn't have his skateboard with him, yeah. But he's still not asleep.
No, I love this kid. He's amazing. All right. So, Steve, we're heading into our last segment, and let's go through a couple of things. First of all, what are some of the symptoms of a good culture?
Well, it's kind of like the last question we were talking about. Bottom line, a good culture is a culture where people embrace conflict rather than avoid it. They don't nod their head and smile and kiss up. If there's a problem or they don't agree with something, they go talk about it, and they feel the effective engagement from a leader that doesn't have the open door, closed mind policy, but has open door, open mind, open heart, yeah, in the process. The people are about setting and achieving goals because they want to, not because the boss has a management by objectives policy. Right. The people are about being all that they can be and are looking for ways to embrace change rather than avoid it. You know, in our employee engagement process, it's about helping people learn that they can change, that they have more potential than what they're using to change, equipping them with skills and tools and techniques that the best athletes in the world use with their sports psychologists to change what they want to change. And guess what? Everybody has something they wanted to want to change if they knew how and believed that they could. And it typically starts with golf games and marriages and families and children and health, and then transitions over into business. And then, you know, the significant last piece of the puzzle, as we kind of talked about earlier, is it's about, you know, sustaining the process and making it work so that it lasts for the long haul. I mean, every business has systems and processes that were put in place to solve problems.
Yeah.
To solve problems. Every business has them, and then they keep the systems and processes forever.
Right.
But they never ask the question. Is the way that we decided to solve this problem of getting the product to the customer faster having a positive or negative impact on our culture? I mean, you could be making your workforce extremely angry by the way you're going about getting your product to the customer faster, and then they decide that they're going to go on strike, you know, when the next contract comes up, and, you know, now you've got labor management problems. Effective businesses have the tools in place to assess their systems and processes and implement them on the basis of both solving the problems that exist and affecting and encouraging and reinforcing the culture that they want. You do both,
right,
then you'll continuously improve.
Well, it's interesting because one of the things I don't think I heard you mention there was it's about motivation. And when it's about changing the soul of the business and changing it from the inside out, you don't need a lot of motivation.
Well, I know people motivate themselves.
Exactly.
You know, with all of our adopted children, have had the opportunity to interview so many mental health professionals. The smartest psychiatrist I ever talked to was helping one of our foster kids one time. And, you know, we were dealing with ADD, ADHD. And, you know, Dr. Sands says, hey, the best cure for ADD, ADHD is motivation. I said, what do you mean? He says, sooner or later in everybody's life, they decide that they want to do something that they're passionate about. And when they decide that they're motivated and passionate about doing something, the brain actually heals itself without meds,
right?
You know, and without therapy. So, you know, human beings motivate themselves. And especially if you have people who are all about self-actualization and being all that they can be, which by the way, is a culture element you can feed.
Yeah.
People who care about each other as fellow human beings more than they do the function that the job produces, and people who, when there is a crisis, run to huddles or teams instead of silos.
Right.
I mean, those four elements are the critical keys to a high-performance culture.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, human nature doesn't necessarily flow that way. It's something you've got to do on purpose, by intent, with structure, with plans, with process, because if you just let it happen by accident, it will go off track. And if you're
exactly
in business for a while with a lot of people, it can stay off track, and you won't even know it until an implosion
happens.
And
culture is one of those things that happens on purpose or by accident.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, just because you don't have a culture plan, or you never talk about culture, or you don't have a process in place, or you don't have employee engagement or employee satisfaction surveys, doesn't mean you don't have a culture. You do.
Yeah, exactly. So I love that. One of my favorite quotes that's on the excellentcultures.com website is a Tom Landry quote, the old Dallas Cowboys football coach. And he said, "I don't believe in team motivation. I believe in getting a team prepared so it knows it will have the necessary confidence when it steps on the field and be prepared to play a good game."
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the belief system. If a team is prepared, they know that they're good at what they do, they're confident in their skills, and they believe in themselves, then you don't have to motivate them. You just encourage them to go be who they really are,
right,
and good things happen.
Okay, so we've got about 4 minutes left as we're closing out today's show. And let's talk about this for a minute. What are the most common... So maybe you're listening right now. You're listening right now, and you're like, I'm in a company that, or I'm in a business, or I'm in a culture that is not what's being said right now on Biz Culture Matters, and you're hearing complaints. But I want to hear from you, Steve. What are the most common complaints employees make about company culture?
Well, that's a longer than a 4 minute question, but we'll give it a great stab here. And then if you need more info, folks, email us at asktheexperts@excellentcultures.com, asktheexperts@excellentcultures.com, and we will get back to you with the best answers that we can. So the biggest symptom to look at, and the most dangerous one in answer to your question, is nothing. Mm. Nothing. No symptoms mean you got problems.
Interesting.
When nothing is going on and people aren't talking about it, when they aren't complaining, when social media is all warm and fuzzy, everything's beautiful, we love where we work, then you've got a problem.
Hmm.
And the problem may not be that you have a terrible culture, but typically you could even have a good culture, but you don't have a great culture.
Right.
Because if you read Stephen Collins' work, Jim Collins' work. You got me thinking about Stephen Covey. Both great, smart guys.
<bad. laughs>
If you read Jim Collins' work, he would tell you that it's actually easier to make a terrible company great than it is a good company great, because when we're good, we get lazy and we're just not motivated enough to want to become great.
Yeah.
So typically, the best clients that end up contacting us at Excellent Cultures are not organizations who have a culture problem. They're organizations who have an excellent culture already. And the reason they want to talk to us is because they want to be more excellent. And they're looking for every tool in every way they can to improve and to take it to the next level. So, you know, if your people are not complaining, then you have a culture problem.
Right.
If you don't hear any bad news, you have a culture problem.
Well, what's interesting too is, I mean, if you're a leader listening right now, nobody comes and talks to you. They talk about you, talk around you. They're not going to, I mean, for the most part, leaders are the biggest ones with the biggest blinders and the biggest earmuffs on, not because they want to, but because nobody comes and talks to them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and that's part of the growl and the great thing about getting help and getting someone in there to come and help you to use the scientific tools and ways we have of assessing, because it gives a way for you to look in the mirror that is safe, that is that people
safe and accurate and will help you see with numbers.
There you go.
People can lie about numbers,
right,
but numbers never lie about
That's
people.
It. That's it.
You know, with numbers, you can assess and measure your culture. You can tell yourself, I'm not gaining weight all you want, and let the notches out on your belt. But when you get on the scale, the numbers don't lie.
Right.
So, you know, numbers are critical. But then the second piece of that puzzle is nobody sees the trees in their own forest, and people will always tell an impartial third party something under the bridge of anonymity that they won't say to their boss or they won't say in a round table discussion around the conference table. They'll tell us things that they won't tell their own team or their own boss.
Right.
And, you know, and then our job is to repackage it in a format where it can be discussed without political damage,
right,
and turn it into something that's proactive, that creates positive change in an effective, implementable, sustainable piece, you know, process.
Right.
And the other thing is that if you're not doing something like this on a regular basis, you know, people say different things under the bridge of anonymity on a confidential survey or in a confidential interview that they don't say in public. That's the truth, and that's the problem. And unless you're gathering,
that's why social media is what it is.
Exactly, exactly. That's exactly why social media is what it is. And people say different things today on social media, definitely, than they would, you know, verbally face to face if there's a threat factor in place. And the threat factor is not a bad boss. It's a real boss. It's a normal boss. And the perception that people have about bosses just because of past experiences they've had.
No, exactly. Man, what a great show. I hope you guys were able to pick up on lots of tips and tricks and great stuff. Send us some confirmation right now, some conversation right now. Send an email to asktheexperts@excellentcultures.com, or even better, get a quick assessment right now, instant assessment from our website of your culture, excellentcultures.com/biz, B-I-Z, culture, M-R-I. Get checked up. Let's have a conversation. It's been a great show. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Chris. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say, because we're always learning something new.
Absolutely. This is Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM.
Tom Wheeler, President and CEO of the Cellular Telecommunications and Internet Association, on behalf of the wireless phone industry.
When driving a car, we all deal with distractions. Your wireless phone shouldn't be one of them. A wireless phone can be a great safety tool. It's up to you to use it safely. Ask yourself, is this call necessary? And will this call distract me from my first responsibility to drive safely? If you do use your phone, follow some basic do's and don'ts. Never take notes or look up phone numbers while driving. Never use your phone in heavy traffic or hazardous conditions. Tell the person that you're talking with that you're driving and keep your calls short. Use a hands-free device and speed dial to place calls. Remember, state laws prohibit distracted driving.
The National Safety Council and the wireless phone industry remind you to drive safely. Safety, your most important call. Visit www.driveresponsibly.org.
Get help finding a job. The YWCA Job Bank Office receives 60 to 100 new listings per week. Visit the Resource Center Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 p.m. It's open to the public.